Ahoy!
Welcome to
On the Boatcast.
Snacks, trucks, and rock and roll.
Let's go.
It's Rich Johnson. This is your microphone. Just talk straight to the
on this side. This.
Straight ahead. Sweet. It's like a popsicle.
Yeah,
it is.
And someone also said it looks like a deodorant
or a razor.
Austrian Audio Mics. Shout out to our Austrian Audio friends for hooking us up with the mics. We brought them all the way across the big pond to have them here
to work with the best
to drive on another big pond, record a podcast episode with people like Rich, who is a media and content creator for Six Men, right?
Yeah. So I do photo and video for Six Man, but also more as a freelancer. So they hire outside companies and then we come in and create all the content from
and charge them.
Yeah, okay. Of course. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like a whole team just for us to understand and for everyone who's listening, because I bet everyone on the cruise is interested in how that works. Where do you guys come from? Freelancer, hired by Six Man, whatever.
Yeah.
How many of you are there? Do you have your own little studio where you edit your stuff?
So we'll go a little bit further back. I was on the first Flogging Molly cruise as a guest in 2015.
Okay. But it was a different
management, mm-hmm. right? So I was a guest. I brought my camera and I shot it as if I was working, but obviously from the audience. And then I created an album afterwards and I sent it to Flogging Molly and was like, here, this is what I did as a guest. And they wrote back and said, no, we're good. We've got our photographer guy. And then something happened with that where it didn't work out. But then they reached out and they were like, okay, this is good. Come on board. But, you know, let's test it out because we're testing this out. So at the time, because it was a different management company, we were doing all of this out of our cabins. So our charging stations were in our cabins. Our media dumps were in the cabins.
Did you even have enough space to sleep in there?
Barely. Yeah. It was like pelicans.
Oh my
and
God.
We're using the we're using the safes for stuff, just to store stuff. And then 1 year, Flogging Molly switched over to Six Man. And at first I was a little bit skeptical because I was like, this big corporation's coming in. And then we came on board and it was like, here's your production office. Mm-hmm. And here's all the stuff we have for our crew. They had earplugs, you know, medicines and craft services. And
snacks.
It was a shock. And I was like, okay, we can do this. And then the next year, this is the second year Six Man's been involved and it's been mind blowing from a freelancer production standpoint. But we do have a content schedule mm-hmm. and we have things we have to hit. And we want to make sure we give each artist that has committed their time on the cruise their time to get photographed and filmed for the mm-hmm. highlight reel. So, yeah.
There's so much logistics behind it. People basically don't see the behind the scenes, but it's very interesting. And we've met you last year on the cruise and then some of your colleagues. And actually the band that we've been on tour with last year on the cruise with, Ruskaya, they had one of your colleagues, or was it you, take pictures of them in the bowling alley on the ship,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they ended up using all of the pictures for their new album. Like
yeah.
the album artwork is from the pictures here, because they randomly had someone photograph them, and they loved the pictures so
glamour
much.
Glamour shots.
Yeah, so that's what I try to do on. I feel like a lot of creatives don't take full advantage of the opportunity, and it's very easy to miss those opportunities because you have, you know, 10 bands going on throughout the day. So what I try to do is any kind of downtime, make time for stuff like this or reach out to the artists that I've found on. I found Ruskaya on, I learned about them through YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then I found out they were here and I was like, my goal is to get a portrait of them. And so I reached out to you and I was like, hey, can we do a photo shoot? And in classic tour manager style, you're like, hey, yeah, we can. We can look. We could shuffle things around, and
I
then
hope I wasn't being an ass.
No, you were doing your job.
Never an ass.
You were doing your job.
And, oh my God, I was a total ass. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, you were amazing, and that's your job, is to make sure that their time is managed and make sure that they're safe and and their image is protected.
It's not going to be Playboy pictures.
Exactly. Even though I think some of them may have. No, I'm just kidding. Like
Mario, the drummer, wasn't a young farmer's calendar.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
People Google that. You will not believe it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm going to show you a picture later. It's the same.
It's amazing.
I want to see that.
We love you.
But that, yeah, so I try to take advantage of it and I say, okay, even though I'm doing the live stuff, which is very limited on what I can bring as far as lighting, I'm going to take full advantage of the opportunity of being around these people and offer them something above and beyond if they take advantage of it. And that way I can add something to my portfolio that's like, you know, here I did a photo shoot with Raskaya and they used it on their album. And I was flattered. I was so honored to be, I was like, yes.
Those
yes,
were
you can.
Amazing.
I appreciate that.
I wasn't sure anymore if it was you, but
it all kind of blurs together when you're like running through. So
blur is the word of the day or of this cruise.
It's the second podcast of the day, but we got some Starbucks, so
yeah,
it's a little bit better now.
When you meet people, but you're meeting people, you're meeting hundreds of people. When you're on tour, it's like, hey, remember me? I did this, and it's like I want to remember you, but also it's I don't even know what day it is.
That's like, true. It's a tough time. Also, I have a problem with names. I admit it. I'm sorry. That comes with meeting people. Connie meets also hundreds of people. And at some point, it's not because people aren't important or whatever, or you don't want to remember them or they don't mean anything to you. It's not like that, but it's just so many that it kind of blows your mind and you're always in work mode. So you're kind of like focusing on stuff. And then sometimes I tend to forget names, which I'm really sorry about.
It's okay. Everyone understands.
But then when someone's coming up to me and he's like, hey, what's up? How are you? And I'm like, good, man. How are you? And sometimes I have no idea who I'm talking to.
Do you do what I do where it's like,
what was your name again? And then they say, it's Martin. And I'm like, no, man, I know your last name. I was talking, but I didn't even have a plan with the first name.
I feel so bad that I don't remember. And I'll be like, I'm trying to pick up on clues. And then finally, I'm just like, remind me of your name. At first I'm like, oh yeah, hey. And I'm trying to like, where did, and then they can kind of see it on my face sometimes. Yeah. But I'm like,
I mean, you're not saying, wait, who the fuck are you?
No.
Just trying to friendly imply that you may not remember the name. Yeah. That's good. That's okay.
It happens so often when you meet someone, like they introduce themselves like, hi, I'm Vicky. Hi, I'm Connie. And then, like 5 minutes later, Connie would ask me, what was your name again? And I would be like, yeah, what was yours again? Because you just don't, it's weird. So sorry.
Talking about meeting hundreds of people, do you actually go on tour as well with bands or are you more of the local guy usually?
For me, it's more of a local. I haven't done any tours where I've followed along with a band. A majority of what I do is more commercial, much like your poster.
Having not mentioned that before, you do a little bit of concert photography, but like the major part that you do is portraits, right?
Yeah.
And they're so good. I have your face. I told you the other day, I look at it at your Facebook page and I'm like blown away all the time.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I think because Vicky doesn't have Facebook, I don't know if I ever showed it to you.
I'm too old for Facebook. So. MySpace. Still like, waiting on that to come back.
It's
me too.
It's just Rich Johnson, right?
Yeah, Rich Johnson or Spectacle Photo.
People check it out. It's really, really good. And we're actually so fortunate to have you do this.
I'm honored.
I don't know if you're also one of the photographers that walks around and then the pictures go in the atrium.
That's
like
Will, think, also, right?
Will Byington, and then Ben Morris is here as well. He came from the UK. And then, we have a little crew that we bring on, and it's just once they say go, it's go, which is fun. But my passion is storytelling, and I think there is an art with live. But it's also with the portraits, you have a little bit more control. You could say, okay, let's, you know, I even the details in your poster and your promo image, there's a pillow there. Like that's on
pillow, yeah.
That's on purpose. Like that's like, here are the items that we use while on tour.
Yeah, we brought them all out and went to a highway and then unloaded the van with like whatever we
stuff
found.
That was in the tour van.
Pizza cartons, McDonald's wrappers,
yeah.
Empty Jack Daniels bottles, road cases, neck pillows, Marshall amps.
Us looking like trash cans. It's just yeah.
And that to me is that's a telling a story in a yeah. single image, which is tough to do. And there's an art, like, I think there's an art form when it comes to everything in the world, like even astronauts yeah. who are engineers, there's an art form to that. There's a creativity to that. And there's a creativity to tour managers. And the Interrupters are on the house
yeah.
Thing right now. And
all day, every day. They only play the Interrupters. It seems.
but their tour manager, I had went to their concert before the cruise to bring my kids. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that he was very accommodating to the fans. And I think that's important because you guys play a role to one, protect the band and yeah. make sure time is protected. And then it's also, but also having a good experience for the audience who's important as well. And that's a heavy balance and you have to get creative with that. Right.
Sometimes, and I
went to the tour manager and I was like, I just want to let you know, like, you're really good at this. And he was like, what? And I was like, I don't think you get thanked enough, but like you're really good at making sure that experience is really good. And as a photographer who's running in and out of the pit, trying to not be noticed, and then having a tour manager that accommodates that, but also takes control of it is really important because
it's very fucking important. Yeah.
Yeah. They can get out of hand. And so I think you guys have this talent and this skill of really that balance and that's kind of that tour managers have that look that kind of like that kind of like
I don't know what I'm doing.
No, but it's more of like a I don't want to say it's like a 50-yard stare, but it's like, all right, I need to know everything. It's a very situational.
You know what's happening everywhere at any time.
I get very uncomfortable if major decisions, or to me every decision is big. At some point, you know, and I get really uncomfortable if some things are being agreed on and I don't know, or changed, because I have to know every fucking thing.
Yeah.
I have to be able to answer every fucking question, what's happening in the day. And if some minor thing changes, I get very like, why didn't I know about this? I have to know about it. I have to have the whole plan. And Connie is the same with front of house, you know.
Yep.
She wants to be in the picture at all times about everything because she's great at her job and she just, she cares about what she does. She gives a huge fuck, you know? So it's important to be in the picture at all times if you have a job like that.
Well, an artist, their job is to be there for their audience. Yeah. And sometimes it is a persona. And it's very easy for them to be like, yeah, I can accommodate that, because the whole reason why you're there is because they don't remember where they need to be, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, let's do it. And then you're like, wait a minute.
Hold up.
We've got three other things that you've already committed
to. Did you read the fucking date sheet?
Yeah. So it's
it's in the calendar. That was the word.
That's a, that was a with Ruskaya. It was always everyone always asking questions, and she always said, "It's in the fucking calendar. Read it."
That should be a shirt for you guys.
It's in the calendar. I mean, I love Ruskaya with all of my heart, but at some point you have to train them a little bit, like little baby puppies, you know? Like, these are questions that are answered in the calendar or in your day sheet, and it's something that's just gonna, you know,
they have to learn to look it up there.
Yeah.
Well, it's a business.
It's not just Ruskaya. Every band kind of works like that.
It's honestly a business.
It's fine because it's like, I feel like my job is a little bit like a nanny job at some part, even though people don't like to call it that or like to refer to a TM as that, because it makes the band look like babies. But it's just so comfortable. You don't have to. You can just turn off your brain for some things and be like, someone's taking care of it. And then if I had a TM and I was an artist, I wouldn't look into a fucking calendar. I would just ask that person. So I understand, you know, but it's like,
it happens with everybody.
Please look into the calendar. I'm like knee deep into whatever. And sorry. So
no, that's it. Yeah.
I have a question for you because I saw you running around yesterday and I was thinking that equipment looks expensive. People are starting to mosh. Has anything ever gotten like broken, or have you ever been hurt trying to take good shots or good pictures in the pit or in the crowd?
So I've been fortunate enough not to have had anything broken or hurt. I grew up in like being in that pit. Mm-hmm. So I know it's kind of like reading the ocean and like, okay, this is where it's going. I can't go here. I have had guests not be as nice. You'll get people that it almost is like it's on purpose. Sometimes you get bouncers that are that way.
Oh yeah.
Right. Where it's like security's just, they have a mission just to, they probably shouldn't be doing
Piss
it.
Piss everyone off.
And yeah. If I like, especially with six man cruises or events, I will walk up and say, hey, I'm going to stand in front of you for 1 minute. And I'm saying this while the music's blaring, but I'm like, 1 minute, just 1 minute. And they go, okay. And then typically what I'll do is I'll turn around and grab their, I'll be like, give me your cell phone. And then I'll run and I'll do a film with their cell phone to, yeah. And then I'll hand it back. And it's like, they just got some kind of footage that,
I love it.
And then they can go back and look what's on my phone.
That's
right.
So smart.
So I try to accommodate them as well. Idea. As far as like insurance, so my equipment is insured. So if it were to happen, we do bring backup cameras, and it would be really bad. The other day, Pennywise was playing, and you know, Fletcher he's got a bottle of Tito's, mm-hmm. and he just starts pouring it, and then he instantly brings it down and slices it like the vodka across the crowd, and I'm filming, and I just go like that, and I shielded my camera and took all the vodka to the body. Like, but other than that, it's the artists are typically pretty accommodating. I've tried to make it a point to introduce myself, to the artists in the beginning and say, hey, I'm not just a cruise photographer. I'm not just some magazine. I'm with you. I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. And then instantly they go, oh, and now they play into the camera, right. And they know that this is their content. Yes. And I think a lot of photographers, they just show up and they just go, okay, I'm here. No. And I know my role. Like my role is to support the talent after the event, but I have to do that in the moment. So I need to be out of the way. I need to be a fly on the wall. I can't be in the crowd with their, like when they're backstage with their friends, that's not my party. Yeah. My job is to capture that moment, potentially ask them if they want a group photo. And sometimes they're like, yeah. Sometimes they're like, no, not the time. I don't want to be seen with this person. But that's kind of the idea. Or pointing out, like yesterday, there was an experience with Matt Hensley where he's like saying hi to the fans. And there was another guy who didn't necessarily get a photo. And I was like, hey, Matt. And he goes, oh. And then we take a photo and we move on. And the fans appreciate that. And then that's how they kind of remember us, even though my job isn't to be remembered. It's to blend in. I wear all black. We're not supposed to be seen. We're hiding, right? You know, it's about them and supporting them. And you don't want to, I'm not there to compete with
the artists. I think you can see how smart you are about your job. Yeah. I mean, in general, smart person. I think we know that. But also like the way you do this and the way you work.
The approach.
Yeah, the approach and the social skills behind it, that's so important.
Like,
and
there's some psychology involved in that. Like,
well, it's I think I've worked with photographers
it's part
where
of the art of your job.
Yeah.
It is. And I think when people get into photography, they think it's about the gear and it's all about the how. How am I going to take this? Yeah. How am I doing this? Mm. How am I going to get this shot? And not none of them, but most of them don't look at it and go, why? Why am I here?
Yeah.
Why am I taking this photo? Why am I creating this? And if you look at the why for at least a six-man cruise or any event, the why is an experience. These people save up money for this.
Oh yeah,
they're going into debt for this to cruise with these bands.
They go 18 months of posting in the Facebook group. I always mention the Facebook group because it's
her hub.
It's like that's my how to go to sleep without reading in the Facebook group, you know?
Yeah. Well, they save up they save up.
You can see how excited
they post for 18 months. Yeah. And if I could provide them a photo with their favorite artist and why they saved up, then that's awesome.
Or as we do, provide them a podcast episode with their favorite artists or the people behind the cruise that they love so much.
Correct. Yeah.
Which I'm hoping that people like what we do, but the idea behind it is, yes, they're so excited about it. They save up and they live for that for a while to just go here and have the best time ever. And if we can contribute to that, and also when it's over, give them those memories and make them maybe relive some of it. That's the best thing. Well, that's what we want to do.
Even if you don't like the music, it's just seeing it. I'll turn my camera from the band into the audience a lot. And you just see pure passion on these people's faces, and they're crying and they're like screaming. And I don't care what music that is or what it is. If it's bringing someone that much joy, it's like, how could you hate this? How could you hate on this?
Yes.
And to me, it's so, and I think that back to the album that I sent Flogging Molly, I think what appealed to, at least from the crew standpoint, is it was from the audience and the audience was in it and it was that interaction and that's what they're selling. They have a million photos of themselves on stage. They don't need that. They don't need more of that, right? For the cruise, they need, what experience am I going to get for shelling out thousands of dollars, taking 5 days off of work? I want to see, oh, I can have lunch.
You have to play with emotions and tell the story, bring some value to it. You're basically creating ads or a little, it's a commercial thing also.
Correct.
To like a recap video. Are you doing those too, by the way?
We do the recap videos. Yeah, I'll be editing this year's recap video. So
the ones that are being played on TV here too.
Yeah, yeah.
I love those.
So we're pumping those out daily. We're like,
amazing.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the challenge of vertical, we're like having to do vertical video now for social, but it's a lot of really cool like challenges that pop up. And it's like, how do you accommodate the needs of a commercial need? But then also getting approval from bands. All the content has to go through approval because you don't want to put something out that's like...
There's so much behind all of this.
It's so much. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
same for us, the social media, the video editing, the post-production. It's a lot that goes into it. And for you, it's a job. For us, it's a hobby. But still, a lot of time of your life you spend sitting on your computer, writing emails,
cursing editing at the computer. Because it won't do
what you want.
The thumbnails won't load, and I have to reset it for the 50th time.
But,
and
let's go back to the.
Can I just ask one more question? Because I really think that you read the book, Start With Why, by Simon Sinek.
I didn't read that, but I do know I am aware of it because I did a photo series that went viral, probably about 10 years ago now. And it was a sensitive subject that we did. And I went in there as an artist to try to really shock people. Mm-hmm. My original intention was to just be, I'm going to be creative and I'm going to shock people. And because it was a sensitive subject, the subjects were like, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, fine. You're here. Let's just shoot it the way you want to shoot it. And it wound up saving the project. Mm-hmm. And it was an aha moment for me because I realized that what made it defensible and made it work and truly tell the story of these people in the photos is the fact that I got out of the way as an artist. Mm-hmm. I was so caught up with like, okay, I'm going to have this shutter speed and I'm going to do this aperture and my lighting's going to be here, that I was completely just blinded by the reason why I was there and what it meant to that person. So it just changed my entire outlook. And in 2012, I was shooting two weddings a weekend.
Okay. Wow.
And I was getting burnt out. I hated everything about it. And I wasn't doing anything new. Oh yeah. Well, I was just recycling. I wasn't doing anything that I was passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I quit. I was like, I'm done with photography. I'm going to sell my equipment. And then I found this notebook of ideas that I had. And I was like, oh, I can do this one. Before I sell my equipment, I'll do this. So I did this idea. I posted it online and it blew up. Mm-hmm. For me, it blew up. And I was like, weird. Hundreds of thousands of images later, this one blows up. And I realized like I had been neglecting the only thing that separates me from every other photographer. And that's my ideas, right? And there's probably 10 photographers on this boat with better cameras than me. And they're in the audience, right?
Making the magic work.
But the difference is that I have figured out why I'm doing it. And then I figure out how, and then I focus on that. And our entire community of photographers is so caught up on the newest, the megapixels, the size of the lens.
Yeah, it's modern day media. It's crazy.
And all this other stuff. And it's like, you're doing it wrong. You have to figure out why you're creating. That's like steroids for the how.
Yeah.
And so everything I do now, I go, am I focused on why I'm doing it? And then now let's do the how. And then even while I'm shooting, I'm like, I'm not a trash collector. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to gather 10,000 images. I need one golden image. So I look at it and I go, is this trash? Nope. Yes. No. And then my shoot count's gone down. Mm-hmm. And then the life of my equipment's extended because I'm not just taking 10,000 images for no reason. You know,
it's basically the same with like audio gear for me. It doesn't have to be the best. I don't need the biggest, best, whatever, newest desk. It's about the approach that you have. But we can't get too deep into that because we want to do about 30 minutes per episode.
Yeah, no. We can go for hours.
I know, you're so good to talk to because there's the episodes where we just choke around all the time and curse into the microphones. But this is like a deep one and I love it because I feel like we haven't had a really deep one on the cruise yet.
So I think everyone, like I said before, I think everyone is a creative. I have people come up to me and they're like, you're the creative, you handle it. And it's like, even lawyers, I think, get creative. If you think of the most boring job, accountants, they get creative. There's creative ways to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a matter of pointing out, like, there's an art form behind all of it. There's an art form behind front of house. Yeah. There's making sure that you have what you need to make them sound the best. Mm-hmm. And it's all that artist support. And although sometimes the artists don't say it out loud, they know it. And I've seen it. And I've seen people, you know, thank you so much. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys.
If they don't know it, you would not be there.
Correct.
Yet, you know?
Correct.
So that's kind of proof that you're doing a good job if you're not done.
We're all show support. Like that's what we do is we show support. And there's a creative ways to do that. You show up at a venue and you're like, oh my God, this audio's, but I got to deal with this stuff, right? And I have venues, there's venues in Orlando that I'm like, we're going there. That's going to sound like trash. Mm. And that has nothing to do with the audio engineer or front of house because
it's just the circumstances. Yeah.
And I just know that's the system that place invested in. And, you know.
Speaking about venues, we got four quick questions to wrap this up. Okay. First one, what's the last show that you attended as a guest, not on the cruise, let's say before the cruise, that you just bought a ticket for and enjoyed the music, not shooting any photos or videos, just going there as a guest? What was the last one?
So that was the Interrupters at the House of Blues, 3 days before the cruise.
I feel like you're not the only one who was.
And I brought my kids because they love the Interrupters.
Who doesn't?
And it was awesome. I have to admit though, and I'm sure you guys experienced this, it's like being in the audience,
in work mode a lot.
I'm like, I'm looking everywhere. I'm like, oh, there's the photographer. Oh, that's a good shot. Yeah. He's got a good shot.
At the front of house. What kind of desk? Oh, what does he do with the cake? Like I'll stand there and do that. I'll try not to, but I do
the towel thing. I'm like,
there are no towels on stage.
Where's the
sadness? Yeah, I was watching. It was almost like I was doing research. Mm. Like Amy's down in front of the photographer. She's pointing in the camera. Okay, she plays with the camera. She plays into the camera a lot. So when they were on the cruise for the show, I was like, I'm like, okay, I know where to be. So I was doing research, a little bit of research, but
awesome.
I did enjoy it a lot. My kids enjoyed it. It was, they are like, that to me is like really cool how they play into the audience and they make you feel like you're part of the show.
Which brings me to my next question.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite band on the ship?
On this ship?
Oh, who's the one you were looking forward to the most? Was it the Interrupters?
Oh.
Or is there, because you just saw
it them. The Interrupters.
Okay.
I've been trying to be in the situation to photograph them for a while. This was the first time I've shot them and just seeing them in the past at like Warped Tour. Mm-hmm. It's like, that will be a fun band to shoot. And it's kind of like Raskaya, where it's like, they give you gold and they hand it to you.
Everything's happening at all the time. You're like, I don't even know where it is.
There's a lot of action.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been I was most excited about that band.
Cool. Yeah. I think a lot of people were. And something specific about our podcast, we like to ask our guests about
snacks. What is your favorite tour snack? Or like when you're on the cruise ship, for example, or just out and about working, what
shooting
is the
shows.
Shooting shows, whatever. Work mode, you're out and about. What is the go-to snack for you?
So on the cruise, we have a slight disadvantage for other tour shoots because there's food everywhere. Yeah. And you can run by and just grab a slice of pizza, right? But I like a Kind bar in my bag. Mm-hmm. Like
I'll see one, salted caramel ones.
The little ones are great because you can just throw them in real fast. You don't get it on your
get some quick energy.
Yeah, and as a photographer, you have to be because you're holding the equipment the whole time. You have to be aware of stuff on your fingers so it doesn't like get on your gear. Sunblock is really bad for, because now your whole gear is slippery for the rest of the day.
Oh, yes.
But the Kind bars are easy, real quick to eat. And then you get a quick boost and you're running out and doing it. Yeah.
Kind bar. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. What is your hype song? Like your jam?
It's going to be
to get you into the mood or whatever. Pick one song.
Man. Top of the World by the Carpenters.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think it's a good one.
I do love the Carpenters, though. It's like my favorite. I'm going to say Bro Him because that's on my mind from that show the other night with Pennywise and how everyone stormed the stage and it was like...
Oh, did they?
Oh, it was chaos.
Yeah, Devin told me.
It was pure chaos. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was on par and on brand. But it was like, I was watching some of the stage managers and I was like, I'm so sorry, but you should have expected this. Yeah. That's...
When that song comes on, people go raging.
It was crazy. But I would say Bro Him. So,
very good.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to fade this into the singing that we're going to do now. That was bad.
Maybe fade some more snoring from Mike in there. We'll be good. Thank you, Rich. Have a good
Thank you guys so much.